All right. Are we ready, ladies? Was that fun? Sounds like you guys are having fun. I know. So we're coming back from our group time that we had, in case you're joining the recording again. We had a little break, and now we're starting over again. But I wanted to read real quick what this paper was that I gave everybody in the group. So, ladies, you can take this home with you and cultivate it more. But the thought that I had at the top of it says a seed is a plant waiting to happen. I got this from a profound statement made on a kids show. I went, hey, yeah. And how far into the future of a seed can you see is the major question. An example is if you have a plant, if you plant a sunflower seed, what's your vision of that seed when you are finished planting it? And do you see the blade coming up the ground or the sunflower that's already growing on the tree? Then the question is, again, your life seeds. Identify some seeds that you have already sown in your life. Now, this could have been good seeds or bad seeds, but at least identify them, right? And which one would you say you've sown in love? What state do you currently see that seed, which is very important? And how far into the future of that seed can you see? So whatever you have written on your paper and that you will keep writing, here's what I'd like you to take away from this, right? You want to focus on the things that you have sown in your life that you know were sown in love. Okay? And what we have to do with seeds, it is our responsibility to protect the seed in the soil so it can grow to be what it's supposed to be. And even when it's out of the ground, we still have to protect it from disease, from, you know, animals, whatever, in a farm. But in life, we're still protecting it, okay? Because it was our seed that was, it's originated with us planting it. If we had anything to do with planting it, it has become our responsibility. Unfortunately, when it comes to children, there is a mindset that I can't wait till they're out of the house, as if somehow that it relieves us of responsibility. It doesn't. They are now connected to us, and we said, yeah, we'll take care of them. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay. Now, what about the seeds that you might have sown that were not sown in love? What do we do with those, right? So what we want to do with those is we want to wrap them in the package of repentance and see them covered under the blood of Jesus, never to be part of your garden ever, ever, ever again. Do not keep them in the palm of your hand and just keep looking at those seeds of whatever that were not sown in love. Okay? Now, and scriptures for that would be 1 John 1:9, which you all know, but you can write it down as a, you know, to meditate on. If you confess your sins, da da da. And then Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter preached repentance. That's what Peter preached after they were filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Mark 1:4 is another verse. And then 2 Chronicles 7:14 is that scripture that says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face, I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. Your land is where you sow your seed, right? So wherever you sow your seed, that's your land. So whatever seed of your life gets sown, it's land. Does that make sense? Okay, so give me some feedback as far as the your discussion in your group. That anything, any questions or any thoughts that came out of your group, if you could turn on 22 on the board. You just press the knob, the white, there we go. If I just want some feedback from the group discussion that you guys had. Like, did you come up with some ideas? Did you find out some things? Did you learn anything new? Who wants a mic? And then nobody's going to want to say something into the microphone. So, but what were some general... So I see we have to root up some seeds of fear. I mean, seriously? Ms. Donna, would you like to say yours? Not that I've said your name out publicly.
Well, I have 5 grandchildren, but the 2 youngest I'm the closest to. And I have told them many, many things about God's way of living and loving and just going on with their lives the way God would have them do that. And to me, that was very important, but it just came out of very simply. You know, I told these boys about drugs because drugs are so rampant. It's God's way, you know, things like that. That I felt were very important for them to know God's way.
Exactly. That's good. So now what does she do with that, right? She planted the seed in them. So here's the thing. That's a good example to talk off of. We plant the seed of the word into our children, our grandchildren, young people, even an adult. If you speak to somebody, I have this thing I do. Whenever I teach the word and I know somebody has heard what I've said, they've listened, whatever, I expect a harvest in their life. Whether they were planning to do anything with the word that they heard from me or not, guess what? Any word I have put in them, I expect results. And the way, I don't just stand back and say, well, it's because I said the word that they have to learn. No, no, no. Every time I see them from that time on, I water the seed that I planted in them with the word of God. Many of you have encountered me, and I would just tell you something, like give you a revelation that God shared or something. I have watered the seed that was planted in you. Do you understand? It's my responsibility to do that. Because if I'm going to plant seed, I better be able to do the work to water the seed and to give it light. Do you understand what I'm saying? To give it... Give it the environment where it can be exposed to the things that it needs for it to grow. Do you see what I'm saying? So with our kids and our any family member that we plant seeds into their lives, we have to now speak into their lives the word of God that nourishes that seed. So in other words, we're not going to open the door to disease to eat up the seed. Or even a little shoot comes up, and then we start saying stuff about the little shoot, and it kills it. Whatever, all the work you did to plow the ground, you know, make it plow, and then you plant the seed, and then you just like, do you understand what I'm saying? You have to see the seeds that you plant of the Word of God are so potent. They're self-fulfilling. The word of God watches over his word to perform it. It's self-fulfilling by the producer of the seed. If I'm going to be a sower of his seed, I must agree that he is watching over that seed, that word, to perform it. Do you see what I'm saying? That keeps me hooked up to the vine. Do you see this? Agreement with his word hooks me up to the vine. But if I decide to say, well, I just hope that this happens. I've been saying it for so long, but it never happens. I'm not agreeing with the self-fulfilling part of that seed. We have to allow the seed to die. What does that look like? We let it go. We quit digging it up to look at it. We let it go. What does it mean to let it go? You just say what it is you are planting. I believe, I speak that my children are planted by the rivers of living water. Their fruit will be in and out of season. They always have fruit. You don't go, and okay, I said that word over them, and I just hope that they have fruit in and out. Well, you have just denied the self-fulfilling prophecy of the word of God. Do you understand? Now, people who don't know better, the Bible says, my people die for lack of knowledge. My people, Christians, die for lack of knowledge. So your fellow Christians who lack knowledge concerning the plants that you're planting from the word would not be the people that you want to help you nourish that seed. If you're going to bring people into your land to help you with these seeds you're planting, they must be qualified to handle that type of seed. Isn't that how it works? Let's say it's an actual professional nursery, you know, like where this is what they do. Wouldn't the people helping need to at least know what not to do, what to do? You know, especially if it's very, you know, temperamental, whatever, plants and all them things they got to do to them. Obviously, I wouldn't be the one you want to employ there. But if somebody just goes in and has no knowledge that if you overwater this thing, it's going to kill it, you have all the knowledge and you did all this work, and they come with one day's work and kill something that you've been setting up for months. Do you see the danger in that? So don't allow someone else's lack of knowledge to kill an area of expertise that you've developed. And this is where the love walk thing, let's wrap it up with the love walk, right? This is where Christians get caught up in this dynamic of like, well, I have to walk in love. God is love. He drowned Pharaoh's army. Why? Because he was God? No, because they were pursuing his people to kill them. If the enemy shows up to harm your seed that has taken root and is growing, guess what the ultimate goal is if they wouldn't stop? Death. God himself cuts people off, the branches. What do you think a cut off branch from a vine becomes? Dead. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have to understand that walking in love is not about having a wide open gaping hole that everybody can run through and just trample. No. It has the ingredients of forgiveness and protection. Right? So you have to forgive people for their lack of knowledge and let them go. And you have to protect what God's given you and keep it safe. You have to know how to handle that dynamic. You can't, and people are going to hate you for it. They're going to they're going to want to kill you. But again, if you don't understand the potency of the word, the seed that you're using for that situation, you will give up. Just because you don't want to be thought of badly. You know what I'm saying? You don't want people to think of you as like mean or not loving. You see what I'm saying? And the other thing is, I mean, this is a wide open topic. Was there any other things that came out of the... You could shout it out and I'll repeat it so you don't have to talk in the microphone. But what other insights came out of your group discussions that you guys realized or thought of or whatever? that's a good one. The release time program that we do at the church where we're teaching the little kids. And now we are literally taking God's vessels that he put on this earth and we're filling it with the right seeds. So again, whoever you're doing that with, it's your responsibility spiritually to water it. Water the seeds that you planted in them with the word of God. And offer them every opportunity to get in the right environment for it to actually get cultivated. Do you see what I'm saying? And that's our responsibility as believers, is to create disciples. Right? In other words, when someone gets to the discipleship stage, they can kind of stand on their own 2 feet and they'll start producing some fruit themselves. Right? So real quick to end this, I want to do this exercise with you as I perceived it, right? So my question on this paper is, how far into, or what state do you see your seed currently, and how far into the future of that seed can you see, right? So how far into the future of the seed can we see? Remember in the beginning I talked about eternity? Right? So let's work it backwards. Let's make the end of the seed eternity. Right? And let's work it backwards. So let's say it's your kids. And if this is your family line right here, wherever you start, even if it's not your kids, it's your coworkers. It's your other family members. It's people, you know, on both sides of the mom and dad side, you know, the family members. Find people that belong to your family. Find them. Pray. Say, God, there's got to be people, human beings, that are in my family line that don't have anybody to plant seeds in them. They're empty vessels walking around being dumped on by the devil and his nasty seeds. Bring them to me. Okay? Even if you spiritually adopt people, it doesn't matter. God has people on this earth that need somebody to fill them with good seeds, right? Don't just live a life where it's just you. All of it's about you. You got to find people that need seeds. When you find that person, you have to see eternity in them. And the question is, can you see their eternal reward? So what we do on this earth, there's going to be a fire that'll burn up the chaff, the works that we did that were our own. And then there's going to be a reward for the works of what God asked us to do that we have done. You guys realize that, right? Right? So the question is, what is it that God has for this person to do that I could start planting those seeds in them so they can start working the works of God? Remember what Jesus said? I must work the works of him who has sent me while it's day. For when this night has come, the time for work will be done away. Right? So my job then is, when I encounter people, is to find out what is their return. And a clue to that is their gift. Their gift. And another clue is their gift be used to increase God's kingdom. Check that out. Look how easy that was. And everything they do, every single crop that they produce goes to an eternal reward system. You remember that Paul says some plant, some water, God gives the increase. You see what I'm saying? So you might start planting seeds in somebody and they're somewhere else. And then somebody else comes and waters it. And then God gives the increase. But you were participating in that product, in that produce. Right? But the reason you need to see it eternally is this. In the middle, when the thief comes and says, no, you don't need to do that. You do this, the tears, you know, you don't need to do that. you do this, the whispers. And now you're looking, going, what? I taught them better than this. What? You know what I'm saying? You don't have to get all like, oh. The farmer waited for the thing to grow. And then when harvest time comes, that's when you shake it out. You know what I'm saying? But you can be watchful over this and you keep speaking words that support the seed. So for example, if let's take healing. So you see a verse in the Bible that says, you know, and Jesus healed all that were oppressed of the devil, right? Okay, that's good. But the root thing is you see that Jesus sent his word and healed them. So you go, wait a minute. He sent his word and healed. I'm going to take that. He sent his word and healed me. So you plant the seed of healing, right? So now your job is to get that seed really secured in there. The nourishment for the seed of healing is all the backup that has to do with healing. You understand what I'm saying? Or all the backup that has to do with a clear connection between you and God concerning his word. So if anything comes in and says, well, I don't see no evidence of that, you don't have to answer, or you can simply say the seed is dying. You put the word in the soil and don't pull it back up. If you have to describe it again and talk about it again, well, it's done. You start now seeing the healing. This is key. You no longer just see the scripture you planted, like, okay, you sent your word, blah, blah, blah. You see the results of the word. Does that make sense? You see the results of the word. And then you have to see further. You have to see beyond you. You now need to see the results of that same word working for somebody else that you share with. Right? Like, think about this practically. A sunflower harvest. Right? If you were just doing, oh yeah, I just want to enjoy the beauty of sunflowers. Well, that's great and all. But do you realize you could actually pick the sunflower, get the seeds, package that, sell it. You could get the leaves and do something to it. You could take, you understand what I'm saying? This thing could be perpetually going on, and all you did was plant sunflower seeds. Can you see sunflower seeds in the grocery store from your farm? Can you see that? You see what I'm saying? Or are you just a farmer that sees the seed go in the ground and get harvested? You understand what I'm saying? That's all fine. They're all still possible, but how far into the future can you see the seeds that you have planted in love? Unfortunately, a lot of people see the seeds of unforgiveness and bitterness and family feuds far into the future. Right? They think of like, oh, Christmas is coming. They're going to be there and they're going to do that. You don't want to have them stuff growing in your garden. You see what I'm saying? But you have to look at the seeds of love and say, wait a minute, I see them doing this. I see them changing lives. I see them operating in the gifts of the Spirit. And when they walk into a place, boom, people want to know what happened. Do you see the difference? We all good? Learn something? Right? So you could draw yourself a tree, which was my goal. And then that's just the product of some seed, folks. What comes off the tree is way more, plus there's more seed. Do you see the perpetualness of the Word of God? So if you need healing, if you need finances, if you need direction, don't just get it planted and nurture it for you. Make it a product that your life produces for the kingdom. Package it. Package it. When I say package it, I mean become skilled in it so you can teach it. So you can plant seeds in somebody else's life. Produce fruit of it. Does that make sense? Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh. Right. Right, and you could pray for laborers to go in their path, right? But remember, when God cuts off a branch, he doesn't sit there and whine, you know, like worry about the branch. It's gone. Actually, he has fire prepared for the branch, if you want to really be honest about it. So you talk about not burning your bridges. I mean, he like burns the branch. Do you know what I'm saying? So in other words, here's how that translates, you know, in practicality here. It means that branch cannot ever now produce fruit that says it comes from that vine. Right? So how that translates to family member is that because of their belief system and the way they carry themselves and what they do, right? If they were the same as your belief system, you know, loving people, blah, 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 then it's great that we can be hooked in and people can say, yeah, they come from the same stalk. But sometimes it's better for people to realize they didn't. You don't want them to say they're the fruit of your vine. Does that make sense? There is a cutting off. And you could pray for laborers to come, but there is also a repentance and forgiveness. But you have to know the timing of both and what occurs in both cases. Right? And the love walk, what the love walk does is it keeps the door open. So when they need it again, when they're ready to be restored, they can come back to you and you're fine. It's not like you're holding this tablet of like issues. You know what I'm saying? But there might be a period of time in your life where you just have to let them go. You just have to literally let them go. And again, it's the same principle. If you've done it in love and you're planting that seed of release, you cannot be worrying about it. That's the key. You just have to let it go. And God will bring it all back to you. I have watched this over and over and over in my life, even from a child, from being a pastor's kid and being in church. I mean, lots of opportunities for that, but there's always an open door. They come back and we're good. See what I'm saying? So, good question. All right, ladies, any more questions? Tossed into the world to do their thing, it'll show and they'll separate. You understand what I'm saying? What a mess. And it was after it occurred when the farmer had planted, done all this work, and while he was sleeping, the thief came and sowed that nonsense. You see what I'm saying? So, as far as that farmer was concerned, I'm going to give you this tidbit and then we're going to break up into groups. As far as that farmer was concerned, he planted a seed, and the only thing he could look forward to, or the thing as far as he looked, was this: the harvest that was coming up that he can reap. Once he's reaped the harvest, then he would sell it, keep some seeds, replant, you know, harvest, sell, seed, replant. So this farmer's vision was still all on the farm. Right? The farm, vendor, seed, farm, vendor, seed, farm. That's it. See the process? Okay. So I'm thinking, though, that there's more that you can do than seed, plant, harvest, vendor, seed, plant, harvest, vendor. There's more than that. Right? But that's all he could think. And then all he could see is like a thief came and did this. What? Right? So, with that in mind, we're going to break up into groups. Miss Nadine has a cool way of us figuring out what groups we belong to. So she's going to come around with her basket of beautifulness. And you could sit in any corner you want to in the church, go anywhere in the building, over there, anywhere. How many would we have in a group about? Four ladies to a group. And I have a paper. So you could probably take your Bible or book or something so you can write on. Everybody wants to take a paper, pass it on. And this paper is just a challenge for you to consider. It expanding your borders in your mind. Oh, here. I gave you some clues in my teaching. So, what color should we call out for everybody to know what?
Green.
Everyone that's green?